prior talks without some serious arm twisting. Another suspected drug-running boat blown to smithereens off the coast of Colombia. The vessel taken out by the U.S. military. It is the second such strike in the Pacific. There were earlier strikes in the Caribbean. On Wall Street, the Dow 10 points in the red. More details, srnnews.com.
Do you have Bible college credits? Do you want to earn your degree? Would you like to do some studies online? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your contact, name, and number for the admissions office to reach out to you. Your first course is free. Conservative Theological University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD, all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, we say thank you, thank you, thank you for jumping on board, joining in the dialogue and discussion today. Our subject, our issue today, how to select a New Testament church. Love to hear from you. The number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What do you look for in your church? Does your church have the rock and roll music, the dark ceilings, dark walls, and the flashlight attendants walking the visitors down the aisle? Does your preacher talk about the issues that are subjects in the scripture, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, or does he shy away from anything that's called a issue that would be considered against loving the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ lifestyle? Does your preacher shy away from talking about the need for Christians to be good citizens and to vote, and who to vote for, and how our vote ought to be cast if we're going to have those that are leading and guiding us on a national level? What do you look for in a local New Testament church? You look for the music program, the nursery program, or do you look for the pulpit ministry where the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed? I want to read a verse or two, and then we'll open our telephone lines and ask you to give us your thoughts. The Apostle Paul, writing to the churches at Galatia, says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that is a dangerous factor. In Galatians, also in chapter 3 and verse 1, the scripture says, the Apostle Paul speaking to the believers at Galatia, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" And then in the 4th chapter of Galatians, and the 16th verse, the Apostle Paul says, "Have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth?" Now, our guest today is Brother Ken Michael Fresh. Brother Ken teaches a men's Bible class here at First Conservative Baptist Church. Brother Ken is one of the coordinators with the admissions department for the college and the university, Conservative Theological University. And I'm thankful for his testimony. You've just heard it. I'm thankful for his position on looking for a pulpit ministry of preaching and teaching the Word of God. Brother Ken, I'm thankful that you've taken time to do this today. And I'll shuffle for a brief moment, and then we'll ask our listeners to call in. The scripture is very clear in 2 Timothy 2:15, where the scripture says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're going to examine that verse in just a moment, Brother Ken, and ask you, how does that apply, what Christians ought to do in relationship to that. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, it's sad to say, but most people who go searching for a church, the feel-good, goosebump theology and the get-rich-quick, the Joel Osteen philosophy, never hear anything about sin. It's sad to say, Dr. Youngblood, that there's no value in that preaching. I'd like to remind the listeners that you are the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And just as Christ said, "I'm the truth, the life, and the way," I just wish, it's my sincere desire that people realize the value of this broadcast. I listened to one of your sermons on tithing. That's not a popular subject. But you brought up the subject of, what if you took on a franchise, not a Wendy's or a McDonald's or a gutter cleaner or a Shark Coatings or something, and the franchise said, "We'll furnish the product, we'll furnish the building, the insurance, the lights, everything that you need, and we only ask 10% of your sales." Everybody would jump at that. Only a fool wouldn't take that. But guess what you were talking about? The church. What that shows me, when I listen to that, wow, what a bargain that is. And Dr. Youngblood, to listen to this and get this broadcast is the greatest it's the greatest bargain that's on this radio station. And I'd just like to thank you for what you do. And I pray that people realize just what you're offering, and that they do realize it, and they turn to Christ, and they accept that offer of eternal salvation.
Amen. Well, Tom, I want you to know I'm humbled by your statements, and I'm thankful for them. And it is our desire, our prayer each and every day, even before we go on the air, that we pray and ask God to use the words that will impact hearts and lives for eternity. That's the goal. That's the purpose. That's the ambition. That's the aim of Let's Face the Issues each and every day. And it's our prayer that the listeners even now would ask the question, what am I looking for in a local New Testament church? Am I looking for entertainment? Am I looking for something that will fill me with the goosebump theology, as I call it, or the cotton candy theology? And for those that have not heard me before, goosebump theology is where what is preached makes you feel good, but it doesn't meet the need. Cotton candy theology tastes good, but it's not filling. And I've always said, Tom, that you take all of the philosophies out there from the pulpits today, juxtapose them together, and it makes good voodoo theology. And that's what we have going forth in so many of the pulpits today. I'm saddened by it. It's not a matter of condemnation, but I'm saddened by what we see. That's part and parcel, Tom, as you know, and you've heard me say perhaps before, that's part and parcel of the reason that we're in the decline morally, ethically, theologically, biblically, in our nation today, is because of what is taking place in our churches. And again, it goes back to a statement. I'll read you part of this and get your take on it. Headline says, "Franklin Graham Evangelist issues stern warning to churches that have compromised on God's word by turning woke." Evangelist Franklin Graham has been a longstanding defender of the traditional Christian belief and values, and he doubled down in his recent interview, calling out major church denominations that have caved to the left wing, progressive beliefs about issues such as sanctity of life and marriage. Progressive churches in America saying that such congregations have damaged themselves by turning away from the traditional Christian teachings on major cultural issues. In addition, Graham explained the heart behind his firm stance on these issues. During the interview, he was asked if he believed that denominations have not been clear on where they stand on the key biblical issues, damage to their mission. In response, Graham said this, "I think churches have compromised on God's word. I think churches have damaged themselves, no question. And we've seen a generation leaving the churches because they are offering nothing. The churches that are growing are holding to the word of God." Graham said that in America, some mainline denominations have compromised on sexuality. Some have turned to the social agenda. Franklin Graham said the young people want to know that what God thinks, what's going on in God's word, and there's a generation today that's growing into a hunger to know the truth of what God is saying. Tom, how do you respond to that? Do you think Graham is right? Do you think Graham is wrong? Do you think that's a causative factor of what we're seeing in the diminishing of morals and values in our nation today? I know that's a multiple-pronged question, but try to answer that if you take a moment.
He's right on, Dr. Youngblood. The old churches that preach the word and live the word, the Democratic Party has torn down America. They've offered free stuff. You can get free stuff if you vote for them. All you have to do is give up your belief in God and cut a body part off, and you're good to go. And that immoral lifestyle and an immoral life is brought us to where we are today. You can lay it right on their doorstep.
Absolutely. And Tom, if I could put a footnote to that before I let you go. And I believe the judgment starts at the household of faith, at the churches. And I believe what you've just said is as a result of the failure from the pulpits to preach the truth of the whole gospel. As a result of that, weak, anemic, unlearned, ignorant Christians, if I can use that as a broad brush, have not learned the word, therefore they do not have a steering, guiding point coming from the pulpits in the modern churches today. It's woke progressive, and Franklin Graham goes further to say the woke progressive Christianity will send more people to hell than Satan ever dreamed possible. That's where we are today, and that's my challenge today. Tom, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Nancy's on the line. Nancy, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I've listened to your program for a long time and some other preachings on radio as well, and it's never been explained to me. And I feel like it's a compromise of the truth, and that's why I'm calling in today. I'd love for it to be explained so that I don't feel like it doesn't make sense. But this whole theory around Judeo-Christian and that Jews are the chosen one and all of that just confuses me because Jews reject Christ as their Savior. So,
well, Nancy, let me take a moment and explain it in kind of a nutshell. It's a long theological subject, but let me just simplify it. God made the decision, not the church, not people, not human beings, that His elect ones of the Old Testament, the Jewish people, the Scripture says the apple of God's eye, it's the Jewish people. And out of Judaism, we find the birth of the church. We are grafted in, the Scripture says, into the God's plan. So in the New Testament, the Christians are the chosen elect ones. Jesus Christ is the elect one. We are His elect ones. And in the Old Testament, it's the Jewish people. God's been dealing now with the church for about 2,000 years. God dealt with the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. They rejected the gospel. The gospel then was turned to the Christian church, to the Gentiles, and that's where we are today. And so it's a question that only God can answer in the affirmative. Why did He choose the Jewish people? Because in the annals of history, back and back and back, in the mind of God, that was His choice and decision to choose the Jewish people as the elect ones of the Old Testament. Ken, what do you say?
As it relates to the Jewish people and being chosen by God, it's sourced back to the Abrahamic covenant.
Yes.
Where God promised Abraham that the Messiah, the God-man, the redeemer from sin, would come from the loins of Abraham.
Yes.
And Abraham...
By the way, that's talked about in Galatians chapter 3 and in chapter
correct.
6.
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm. So the Jewish nation was set apart through the Abrahamic covenant to allow the bringing forth of Jesus Christ in the flesh.
Amen.
And that, and they were chosen by God as that group, that family from the descendants of Abraham. God had to select some family to bring forth Jesus Christ in the flesh. So that's why they were select and elect in the Old Testament of bringing Jesus into the world.
Absolutely. Nancy, let me do a little parenthetical footnote to that. You're exactly right. The overwhelming majority of the Jewish people today are not God-fearers. Overwhelming population of the Jewish people today are not Christians. But listen, when the Antichrist steps on the scene after the rapture of the church takes place, the Antichrist's primary goal is to destroy every Jew on the face of the globe. Because Satan hates the Jewish people. That's ratified, by the way, and vivified in Revelation chapter 12. That Israel is persecuted and prosecuted today because it's out of Israel that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ took place. And during the course of the tribulations, where it seems as though every Jewish person will be annihilated, according to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7 and following, the Jewish people will recognize Yeshua Messiah, whom they have slain, and will receive him as Savior, and will be ushered into the millennial kingdom, and will rule and reign with the church, the Christians of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26 says, "And all of Israel shall be saved." And that "all" is a qualified "all," because it's after the overwhelming majority of the Jewish people and Christians, anybody that says yes to Christ after the rapture of the church, will be annihilated by the Antichrist ruling and reigning with an iron fist. I pray that that's been a nutshell answer and a help for you. And I recommend this. Go back to the study of the Word. And Ken, I recommend to everybody, get good study tool books. And I don't say this because we have it, but in the bookstore here at Conservative Theological University, we have about 6,000 titles, about 120,000 volumes of the nation's most conservative theological study tool books. And we would recommend anybody that's sharing today, you want good tool books, you want to study the Word, you want good commentaries that you can look at the Word and understand it, go back to the Bible as the basic book, and from that with study tool books. Nancy, I pray that that's been a help to you, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Jose's on the line. Jose, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother, I blame all that woke and liberal theology that is spreading in the churches. I don't know how the devil infiltrated the church years ago. Before, we used to have Sunday school when we studied the Bible, and we had, you know, Bible study during the week. So the people knew what the Bible says, and it was creating solid, with a good foundation, Christians. Nowadays, you have all kind of, they don't even know what the Bible says. They don't even know the fundamentals of the Christian doctrine. So that's the reason why they allow anything to come into the house of the Lord. Because you got leaders that they themselves have no clue. You know what I mean? What the Bible said about this issue? What the Bible said about that issue? Everything is love, love, and love. Wait a minute. We ought to love everybody, but we need to tell the truth. We need to tell that person, hey, go and sin no more. But when you do that, the devil labels you. You're not loving. You're not compassionate. You're not, you know, you're not embracing. Wait a minute. Lord, embrace everybody, but he expects us to change. And I think that's the problem with the church nowadays. Since they have no knowledge of what the Bible says, anything goes. Anything that sounds appealing to the flesh, they let it fly. They let it go by. And my question is, brother, what can we do to bring back the churches to study the Bible, to know what the Bible says? Because I think that's where everybody starts. People doesn't know what the Bible says. That's my question, to be honest.
Jose, let me answer that very briefly for you.
With the Jaguars.
Let me answer that very briefly for you and get your take on the response. One of the major things that's going to have to take place if we see it happening in our lifetime is for real Christians to study the Word, know the Word, analyze the Word, apply the Word, and not what the world says in a woke, progressive society, but what does the Word of God say? That's the first, foremost, and final authority is the Word of God. Not what we think or feel, not denominational dogma, but what does the Word of God say? That is the only thing that has power and authority. And this is the reason the Scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. When, as long as the woke progressive Christians seek out and search for a church where everything is embraced, nothing is confronted, sin is never talked about, salvation is never the centrality of the pulpit, but simply getting entertainment and the numbers, nickels, and noses. As long as wannabe so-called Christians, as long as they embrace that, it's going to grow these mega churches. I listened to Joseph Prince this morning for a few minutes. Joseph Prince said, and he was taking his scripture out of context, that God wants every Christian to prosper. Now, the word prosper in the Greek text, in most of the cases, euhodos, is to have a good journey. Not talking about money, not talking about numbers, not talking about health, but having a good journey and carrying out the task that God's called us to. And yet we have those that are preaching and teaching a false gospel. That's the reason the Apostle Paul challenged the believers in the churches at Galatia, that you've turned to another. It is not etros. It is another, a different gospel of Jesus Christ. The only true gospel, the Apostle Paul called it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 3, is the death, burial, the resurrection, and I add to that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Jose, we need to keep praying that God will open the eyes and that people would truly be saved and not just want to be Christians, but truly saved and wanting to serve the Lord. But thank you so much for your call. Brother Ken, let me ask you a question. What is the answer? Should Christians that sitting in the pew, deacons, Sunday school teachers, should they further their biblical training and education? And what is offered at Conservative Theological University that would be a benefit to them?
Let me state the obvious.
Okay.
There is a huge need in evangelical Christian circles across the globe for sound biblical training for every born-again believer, mm-hmm. particularly as we see the rampant temptation that's available now through the internet. You can find and watch anything. The soul-destroying sin and lust that's prevalent in our society that's accepted as normal. The false teachers that you mentioned and the damnable heresies. Mm-hmm. There's never been a time where the average rank-and-file believer has to know and have a thorough understanding of Scripture. And second to that is there's a huge need for the calling and surrender of full-time Christian servants.
Yes.
And so I think you've seen that as the leader of our ministries and our congregation. And the method in which we've put together Conservative Theological University is it's very accessible. You mentioned it's theologically sound mm-hmm. to the core. It's biblically conservative. It's practical in training. It's trans-denominational.
Yes. Let's put a little footnote under that. By that trans-denominational, in Conservative Theological University, we do not teach the denominational dogma. I tell people, and we tell all of our students that enroll and those that are inquiring, we're not going to preach and teach and train you in Catholic doctrine and Baptist doctrine and Methodist or Presbyterian, etc. We just teach what the Word of God says. You can take these layers and layers and layers of traditional dogma and put them on top of the Scripture and destroy the integrity of the Word of God. But Ken, there's something that our listeners need to understand. They can go online now, any human being that's listening now, any place in the world, can go online to conservative.edu.
Yes.
And what is it they see time they go to that website?
There's a pop-up screen. And we've made a study online for a free online 3-credit-hour college-level course of your selection. You go on conservative.edu. The screen will pop up. All you have to do is click started, and you'll be sent over to a free course request screen. There's a form. You fill out some basic information, your name, address, and you select one of 5 free courses. and hit submit, you'll be directed over. You'll have to purchase the textbooks that go along with that, but you'll be enrolled in a free course, and a link to the university portal for your free course will be provided in your email.
Absolutely. So you can't get any simpler than that, Ken. I am thankful, ladies and gentlemen, we have that privilege to offer around the globe, you that are listening, conservative.edu, pop-up screen drops down. It says get your free course. You can click on that, goes to another screen, fill out name, address, phone number, denominational preference. There are five choices of the free courses. Click on one of those and then click to finish or to submit. When it submits, then it takes you to the bookstore. And the course is free. By the way, Ken, our listeners need to understand that's a $405 value.
Yes.
If you were paying
yes.
for your courses on the return and the traditional course lineup for CTU, it's worth $405. That's free to you that want to enroll and study that first course. It's free. You pay for the textbooks. Textbooks are priced at the nominal price that you would find any place across the nation to purchase your textbook. Then you start your online course and you study. Once you finish the online course, you get graded on that. And then, of course, we would encourage you and pray that God would have you then to go further and enroll in a class online. All of your work you can do an associate's through your PhD all online. And we'd love to have people do that. And so, Ken, my recommendation is for pastors, associate pastors, Sunday school teachers, deacons, the average Christian that's listening, that they study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Brother Ken, tell us about your Bible study class on Sunday mornings at 9:30.
We have a group of men. We had 10 in our class last Sunday, and we're studying Hebrews chapter 11. Because faith, as defined in Hebrews 11:1, is not readily understood by the rank and file of Christians. And we've delved into that and did a deep dive, and we're studying faith and its effects and evidences that will show themselves in the life of a sincere, true believer that's been born again.
Amen. Amen. So, Ken, let me ask you a question. If we have listeners that want to talk with you as the one of the coordinators for admissions in CTU, how can they reach you? What do they need to do? What number do they dial? What extension do they dial? And what can they expect?
I can be easily reached either at the 904-262-8755. Type in extension 240. 8275, excuse me. Okay. And or 800-GO-BIBLE. And extension 240, or they could email me at admissions with an S at conservative.edu.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let me do this. Let me invite you to seriously consider, what are you looking for at a local New Testament church? Let me ask you to also consider, are you saved? Do you know that you know that you know? If you were to die right now, you'd spend eternity in heaven. If the answer to that question is yes, then let me encourage you to get further training, further Bible studies, that you might be the tool, the instrument that God could use in reaching others and impacting others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Christian teaching and talk. This is The Truth
on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
In teaching and talk, this is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
We hear about it all too often. Christians who've